Finally going to finish this series on deal or no deal. Will you guys move those bushes? Will you move those back? Those have got that screen pushed out. Hallelujah. Deal or no deal. We talked about your time, devoting your time. Thank you. We talked about devoting your temple, which is you. We've talked about devoting your talents. We've talked about devoting your treasure. Today we're going to give a gift. And it fits with the season. We're talking about giving your testimony. And I believe you'll see how your testimony is such a powerful gift that you give to people. Most valuable thing you can give somebody. Our pet verse is 1 Corinthians 6 and 20. For you've been bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body. That's the verse that we've hung around. Since we've been bought, that means we don't own ourselves, in case you're wondering. You don't own yourself when you've been bought. I pray that this coming year that you don't make good choices about your life, but that you make God choices about your life. I have always told the children when they've asked me, what should I do? The very first thing I ask them is, what does God want you to do? What does He want you to do? Before I give you advice, I would like to know what He wants, you know? Because I really don't know what your destiny is. He does. And it's your job to discover it, to figure it out, to find it out. We got resources around here that we can help you with. We help people with our Connections class. Now, some people think that's the miracle class, that you're going to come to that class and then instantly you're going to know how your whole life fits together. You know, you're going to spend 3 hours and know everything, you know. But that's not true. This thing is a lifetime thing of figuring it out. It's a lifetime commitment serving God. And whether He gives you 30 years or 100 years, it's your job to figure it out. Now, we can give you some tools that'll help you. Connections is probably one of the best tools there is to help you figure out what God wants you to do with your life, because in that class, you learn about your gifts, you learn about your personality type, you learn about how you take your experiences from life and how you can use them. You know, in life, you know, I made the comment many times that there aren't a lot of churches that actually have food distributions. Most of them are done by communities, of course, the Salvation Armies, that type of thing. Churches generally don't do it. Now, we have a couple, three here that do it, but most communities don't have that, the churches help. And the reason, Brandon, that they don't have that, there's two reasons. Number one, it doesn't build the church. So the pastor says, why should I put out about $5,000 or $6,000, $7,000 a year and not get any results as far as building the church goes? It doesn't build the church having a food distribution, you know? So a lot of pastors said don't see no need for it. But then a lot of pastors haven't had to live under a bridge and eat out of a trash can. And so when you take that life experience and you say nobody in America should have to eat out of a trash can to survive. Am I right or wrong? Nobody should have to, you know? And that's why we have a food distribution, which, by the way, is this Sunday, tonight. It's your testimony that's the power, you know? I mean, you can make okay choices and you can make good choices, but you really need to make the best choices. Because in all honesty, when Jesus said this to Martha, He said one thing is needful. Now, I've been so guilty of the Martha thing, the Martha syndrome so many times, trying to, my personality type won't let me not be like a Martha, trying to be busy for the Lord, always being busy for the Lord, always about the Lord's business, to the point where you neglect the Lord. And he said, Mary has chosen the best part, the good part, you know, which will not be taken away from her, which means it will leave an eternal impact on her life, sitting and getting directions from the Master. Oh my goodness, I can't stress that enough. Don't go in this new year without knowing what God wants you to do. Get directions. You know, our theme today is about our testimony. This is the last message of the series, and the last message of 2015. For most of you, the next time I see you, it'll be a whole nother year. Another year will have went by. Oh, wow. What I want to focus on today is that unique experience that's called a testimony. And I want you to think of that as a gift. I want you to think of that testimony as a gift that you're giving somebody. You can give it to certain people in life, and it's a gift that keeps on giving. You know, folks, we are the real gift. I asked these little boys around here this morning, I said, did you get everything you wanted for Christmas? And they looked at me and said, yep. I went, wow, you got good parents. Because when I was a kid, I never got anything I wanted for Christmas. Anybody know what I'm talking about? First gift, white tube socks. Second gift, white tidy whities. You guys know what I'm talking about? Does anybody here know what I'm talking about? There's usually a half a dozen of them under there, and you just can't hardly wait to get through the clothes. Please, let me get through these clothes, you know? And you hope all six of them aren't clothes. At least when you're a kid. You want one toy. And all that stuff is fine and it's all good. But folks, we are the real gift. That's how special we are. We are a gift that we can give to certain people that keeps on giving. You know, we often think about giving monetary gifts. We think about, well, we got to get graduation gifts, you know, birthdays and anniversaries. And, of course, this past week we got to get all these Christmas things, you know. And we think about exchanging them at parties and exchanging them at the holiday times and all that. Of course, we always leave a gift for a little kid that loses their first tooth, you know, in the name of a tooth fairy. Lord help us. But I'm going to tell you who really knows how to good gifts, and that's grandparents. Grandparents will give and give and give. They know how to give, even when the kids don't deserve it. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You know? I like to just spoil them and send them home. Hallelujah. The kids walk in the house, and the first thing they do is look for cookies and candy. Or freezer pops. That's the first thing they look for. You know? And I pack them up with sweets. Yeah. I told them, Loretta brought in some baked goods. There's some baked goods back here if you want to grab something before you leave today. She brought in a big pan of baked goods, and I told all them kids, I told Allie, I says, there's a pan of baked goods here. Somebody better eat them, you know. Because that's what we want to do. We want to chow down, right? Oh, hallelujah. Pack them up and send them home. Hope you don't make them too sick. Let the parents deal with the side effects. But you know, one of the best gifts, grandparents, that you can give your grandkids is your testimony. That's one of the best gifts you can give them. Many times when I do funerals, I will say that we write our epitaph. We write it in our life. What says, what, you know, it says on our tombstone is a lot of times written by us. We determine what that preacher says at a funeral. You know, we determine it. So today I want to share with you five different groups of people that can benefit from a good testimony. And you understand what I'm talking about when I talk about a testimony. Does everybody understand that? I don't have to explain that. A good testimony. And I always say that if you should be able to tell people your testimony in about 2 minutes or less, you know, don't have to be 5 hours long, a couple minutes, and you should cover how your life has changed and where you're heading, basically, you know. Well, there are basically five people that benefit from us portraying a good testimony. I'm using me, my family, and all this sort of thing. The first one that's blessed by your testimony is you. You. You know, I've dealt with some pastors that are really struggling, because I've been around this a long time, and I've struggled in pastoring churches. I've struggled with trying to stay saved, because you don't really understand how crazy people are until you pastor. I'd hate to tell you some of the things that you have to put up with, you know? Well, let me give you a couple of them. One time I had a lady call me and ask me if she went out and slept with her boyfriend, if the Lord would forgive her tomorrow at church. Now, what would you say, folks? Yeah, my computer's possessed. I think I'm going to stop using PowerPoints. Amen. That's my resolution for 2016. Quit using them. Okay. You know, what would you say to this woman? You know, I just told her, are you trying to get me to sign off on you sinning? You know? Oh, that's so little. Back years ago, I was doing a membership in the church. It was probably my first membership I ever did in the church. And I'm doing a membership, and right in the middle of the membership, visitors walked in. A lady and her husband walked into the church right in the middle when we were doing it. And you guys know I usually do that kind of stuff early in the service. And so right in the middle of it, visitors walked into the church that I'd never met before. You know what they did? Instead of sitting down, they walked right up front and stood in the group of members to be members. I went, oh, geesh. So what am I going to do here? Am I going to embarrass them? You know? Well, I don't know who these people are. Maybe they just want to be members. And, you know, in those days, let's get them on a roll, man. So I just went ahead and took them in as members. I didn't know what I was doing, Floyd. You have such a benefit, let me tell you. I didn't know what I was doing. And nobody had taught me about this stuff. And when we were all done, everybody was shaking hands. You know how we shake hands with them? And this gentleman walked over to me. And this is the first thing, this is what he said to me before he went and sat down. Does that mean we have to be faithful here? I went, wow. Okay. All right. You know, your testimony will not only bless others, but it'll bless you. Especially if you become a person of integrity. And according to the Bible, integrity is a gift that keeps on giving. It keeps on protecting. It keeps on testifying. It talks about the name that you have And when you, your integrity will speak for you when you're not even present and you're not even in the room. You know, in other words, your integrity will go before you and testify on behalf of your testimony if it is ever questioned. I want you to look at this verse here about from Proverbs. The integrity of the upright shall guide them, but the perverseness of transgressors shall destroy them. If you want to really know what God wants you to do in your life and follow His path, you have to be a person that walks in extreme integrity. When the Apostle Paul was trying to demonstrate that his co-laborer was different from other poor church leaders, Paul appealed to Timothy and Timothy's testimony. Look what he said in Philippians. For all seek their own, not the things which are of Christ Jesus, but you know His proven what? Character. You know that His character is straight. Everyone's looking out for their own. But Timothy has proved himself. Because as a son with his father, he served me in the work of the gospel. One of the translations says, because of his character. His character is what shined above everything else. In other words, based on Timothy's past testimony, he should be trusted today. If you want your word to be trusted tomorrow, live a godly life today. And if you don't get anything about what I say this, what I say today, if you don't remember anything, and chances are you'll probably remember about 5% of what I say, maybe 10 with the PowerPoint. But let me give you something to never forget. With your mouth today, you are speaking your future into existence. So as you speak today, so shall tomorrow be. Because with the mouth, there is the power of life and death, is what he says. So if you don't like today, start talking a better tomorrow. Which is what I have learned in my life to do. You know, I was writing down some things for Floyd this morning. I says, tell him we're going to do the next 9 years Sunday. Okay, and he started laughing. The next 9 years, yeah. Don't you have that kind of a plan? I hope you're not planning one day ahead. I hope you have some kind of a life plan in place to speak into existence. The things you see happen now, I didn't start talking about yesterday. Start talking about them ahead of time and focusing them. Focusing that life plan in a direction. A written down list of goals. Sometimes your wind gets a little messed up because you're human. Okay? Sometimes your wind gets a little messed up, I'll give you that. But you should see them in existence if you begin speaking them now. Oh, hallelujah. If you don't, then you're just winging it. And if you're winging it, someone else is planning your life from you. And taking your life from you, I'm sorry. And planning your life for you. Now, I admit sometimes one mistake we make is thinking that the only beneficiaries of a godly life is us. And that is a mistake. We are one of the beneficiaries of living a godly life. And I can tell you emphatically, and God knows my heart. He knows my heart, so He knows I'm not telling you a lie. If there was no heaven when I died, I would change nothing. I would serve God. If there was no rapture ever take place, I would serve Him. Because my life of serving Him has been so much better than my life of not serving Him. People say, you don't have no fun. I have so much fun, it ain't even funny. Sometimes I'm ashamed at the fun I have. And everybody else ain't having it. I absolutely know what it takes to make a commitment. And how do you let Him be the planner and the orchestrator and not you? And I don't sit around and wring my hands hoping this thing will work out for me. I ask Him what He wants and do it. I didn't always do that. I used to always make my plans and then hope He blessed them. I used to do it that way. And finally one day He said, when did I ever tell you to do that? Well, I don't really remember. He said, that's because I didn't. Oh, okay. What's the last thing I told you to do? Well, it's this right here, what I'm doing. And you're changing it. Why? Godly living blesses you, folks. Blesses you. And gives you a testimony unlike other people have. The second people that are blessed by your testimony is your family. Most people want to provide the greatest sense of security for their spouse and their children. Many times, however, the security is found through material things. Though we can own and we can touch and we can earn money, but we'll never earn enough. And you got to understand that. Earning money is admirable, but it'll never earn more than your good testimony will. According to God's word, He said a good testimony or a good name is better than silver and gold. And it will provide a sense of security for you. The best security a family can have is solid testimonies of the power of Christ. And know that God's word is anchoring your family in this world. And it doesn't matter if Ray Bolts's anchor won't hold. God's anchor will. God's word is the anchor amidst the storms. And children know that no matter what happens, mom and dad is going to stay together. The family knows that they don't have to walk around in shame and embarrassment because of what happened in their lives. Folks, that's the anchor of the Word of God. We can be at peace and we can be respected all because we've done our part. So mother, father, daughter, son, the most important thing you do is maintain a good testimony. A time is coming. Oh, man, you're waiting on this one, ain't you? A time is coming, probably in our lifetime, because things are accelerating so fast, and I'm watching it accelerate so fast before our very eyes. If you're not paying attention to what's going on in this world, you're in la-la land. You need to see what's going on in this world, man. You need to keep an eye on it. Israel's the time clock. You need to know what Israel's doing. I'm just telling you right now. You know what's happening in Israel. They're all picking on these people saying walls don't work. Walls don't keep them out. Hey, ask Israel if walls keep them out. Hey, nobody crosses Israel's borders. Walls keep them out. Let me tell you. It's the time clock. It's the time clock. And Floyd, there's going to come a day, the Bible says, and I love this thought, when the reaper is going to overtake the sower. You guys know what that means? Some of you have been sowing so much in your family, you're going, oh my God, I'm so sick of sowing. You sow. It says the reaper is going to overtake the sower or the plowman, you know? In other words, they're going to come in so fast that you can't sow fast enough for them to come in. Oh, hallelujah. That's the last day's harvest. That's the last day's. People are going to walk up to you and say, you know, I've been watching you, and I've been thinking about this Jesus thing. And you have Jesus. You understand that, don't you? Yeah. You know, most people are like me. I don't know nothing. I don't know nothing. I thought Jesus Christ was a cuss word. I didn't know anything. I mean, first time I ever saw Jesus Christ was not a cuss word. I was probably 17, 18, and a guy invited me over. I was helping him work on building a dozer. I was helping him do work in his garage, and he invited me over to come watch a movie. And I went over and I watched a movie, and the movie was called Jesus of Nazareth. It was on TV. It was for about 3 or 4 nights. And I went in there and I watched that movie, and I asked him, you know, I said, so he's a person. In America, can you imagine people not knowing that? They don't know. I'm being real to you. They definitely don't know about this. How in the world does that fit? So I really relate to those people. I know nothing. They never talked about God in my house. There was never a TV show on TV about God or anything had to do with the Bible in my house. Period. Now, there was a church that came around when I was a kid and tried to get me to go to vacation Bible school, but Dad wouldn't let him go because Mom wanted to sleep with the preacher. That was his comments. So the church asked me if I would deliver tracts for them along the river. It was a Baptist church. And there was a girl in there I kind of liked, so sure, I'll deliver tracts. And I'm walking up and down this riverbank in cabins delivering tracts. I got poison ivy so bad I couldn't hardly stand up straight. See, that's what happens when you do that God stuff. I am happy to say, though, that as my dad laid in bed dying, and he was dying of smoking. Smoking is what killed him. He was 60 years old. He was laying in bed with a tube coming in the back of his head and one going into his mouth, and they were sucking blood out of him. Gruesome looking thing. And I was holding his hand. I had written him a few letters, visited him a couple times, wrote him a few letters about God. I was holding his hand. He was in a coma. My brother was sitting at the foot of the bed like where Hunter is. And I was holding his hand and I was apologizing to him for not talking to him about God. And I just said, Dad, I just wish that I knew what I know now. That the time was going to be so short. Suddenly, he squeezed my hand. And my brother says he opened his eyes and he looked at my brother and he winked at him. And I went, oh my God, you're okay, aren't you, Dad? You're okay. After he passed away, my mother, years later, gave me a bunch of certificates where my dad had taken Bible classes and stuff like that. So I live on the conscience that I believe that my father met Jesus Christ before he left this world. Hallelujah. I don't know for sure, but I tend to believe it. Look what the benefits of a godly testimony in Proverbs 31. Who can find a virtuous wife? For her worth is far above rubies. The heart of her husband safely trusts her, so he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. Oh, hallelujah. Proverbs 31:28, her children will rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Proverbs 31:30, charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Hallelujah. She shall be praised. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. Proverbs 20, the righteous man walks in his integrity. His children after him will call him blessed. Folks, I'm just telling you, a testimony is more valuable than anything you can give your family. If I could provide you with one life principle that could bless your family, no matter how old you are, it's this. Live it. Live it out. If you want to teach your family to live holy, live it out in front of them. If you want your children to fall in love with God and His holiness, live a holy life in front of your children. Let me just tell you right now, you can teach your kids all you want with your mouth, but more is caught than taught. I remember one time I was spanking one of my children, and they looked at me and they said, "Dad, why are you spanking me for that? You do it." "Oh, really? Susie, do I do that?" "Yeah, sorry." More is caught than taught. Oh, hallelujah. They'll catch things that you don't even know. You know, the first ministry I did in the church, very first ministry was the sound. I did the tape ministry, and I run the sound. We didn't have this stuff. We had hymn books and the projectors that threw the words up on the wall, you know. That's what we had. So I didn't do that stuff, but I did the sound and the tape. I recorded the sermons and I put the labels on them and I developed the tape ministry. And I did that sort of thing. That's very first ministry. And when we did that, all of our kids used to sit with us. All of them. They all sat with us. It was a cute little thing. They were all right behind us in a row. The pews were small. The sound was off in a wing in a corner. And so we sit there. And then the kids usually sit behind us. Maybe one of them could sit on the pew with us. And of course, they had a couple friends or cousins or something with us, and it was packed house, you know. Most of the time when they didn't have kids' church in that church. When I went there, they didn't have children's church in the morning. It was so cute watching them, because they would all be like this during the sermon. Everyone's head would be on another shoulder. Just a nice little line, you know. But they used to draw things for me. On postcards and tithing envelopes, you know, all that kind of stuff. I have a folder just clear full of stuff that children have given me over the years at different churches. A little girl color me a birthday cake one time because it was my birthday and gave it to me. "Here's Safari Dawn, it's your birthday, I got you a cake." You know, and the kids have given me stuff they've colored over the years and they've drawn and everything. And you know what they used to always draw me? It's crazy. They used to always draw this for me. All the time, I got a pile of them. I told little Emily gave me something. And I just found it the other day when she was just a little girl. I said, "I'm going to bring it and show it to her." They used to always draw me the three cross scene with Jesus in the middle and the two thieves. And of course, they were stick man on little stick crosses. But these kids would give it to me. My kids would give it to me and say, "Here, Daddy, I made this for you." You know, and I just smile when I seen it, you know. Because I just thought, am I giving that kind of image to them? You know, I heard somebody say that you are the image of God to your children. You are the image of God to your children, you know. Because you're made in His image. And giving them something. You know, living this thing out. You know, we talk about it, but do we fly off the handle when something don't go right in front of our kids? Oh my God, we just lose it. And we got Jesus helping us. It's hard to do this. I'm not talking easy, and I wish I was perfect, but I'm not. I wish that never happened to me, but it does. But that's the key, folks. That's the key. If you want your spouse to trust your judgment and discernment when decisions come, seek God in even the little decisions. Sometimes my wife used to drive me crazy. When we were younger, she'd drive me crazy. And I'd look at her and I'd say, I just need an answer, you know? I'm coming to you. That's what I'm thinking. I'm coming to you for an answer. Most of the time, the decisions I didn't want to make. So I wanted her to give me permission to not do it. And I could say, well, now, God, you know I don't want to have a fight with my wife over this. And she'd just say, honey, I mean, I'm talking decisions like moving away, you know? And I would say, what do you think, honey? Oh, I know, Don, you'll be praying about it. And I know you'll make the right decision. One, Brandon, I was going to give my truck away, man. I mean, the option was my truck or an old broken down car with wooden bumpers. That was the option. Well, come on, give the old broken down car away. Don't give your baby away. Not your truck. What man does that in his right mind? Gives his truck away. You know what was hilarious? She looked at me and said, well, if God told you to do it, you better do it. That's exact words. What? Not, well, what are we going to drive? Or what if that piece of junk breaks down? And I'm telling you, it was a piece of junk. Nothing like that. You know what was hilarious? We gave it away on the way home, pulled in the driveway, and one of the bumpers fell off on the ground. A 4x4 just blam, right on the ground, rusted off and fell right off on it. I'm going, oh my God. I'd love to tell you that all the sacrificing and everything, you just feel so good about it. I felt terrible for 2 weeks, let me tell you right now. Wasn't nothing good about that. And when the bumper fell off, I just looked at her. Didn't say nothing. Picked the thing up and threw it aside. I don't think we had that thing too long after that, did we? I can't even remember that sticking car. Just got to live it. And lean on Him. If you want your family to lean on you, let them see them you leaning on Him. And you may not have a whole lot of silver and gold in this life, but by God, everybody can have integrity in this life. You know, I'm a proud father today. My children have made me proud. I'm a proud grandparent today. I mean, I got grandkids on honor rolls, and I mean, I'm a proud grandparent today. They come and show me. They got 4.0s. I just look at them and I think, you know, Floyd, if I'd have gotten the 2s, my mom would have probably went like this. And she didn't dance. Oh. Oh, come on, you possessed thing. Come back. Better is a poor person who walks in integrity than one who is crooked in speech and is a fool. Better is a poor person who walks in integrity. One thing I've learned is that poverty has nothing at all to do with money. Nothing all. This world has it all wrong. Who's the third group that's blessed by your testimony? The world. As your pastor today, I implore you to seriously consider how your personal testimony can be either positively or affecting the ministry of our church. I want you to think about the impact of your actions and how people feel about you in this church. How people feel about the things you say to one another in this church. And I want everybody in here to do me a big favor. Before you say anything to anybody, go, take a deep breath, and think about it. Right? Probably. Because we either positively affect people or we negatively affect people. And at New Hope, I don't want anybody to have a negative experience at this place. I want people to have a convicting experience at this place. I don't want everybody in here to feel good and say, oh, that was a feel-good message. Oh, I just enjoyed that and I got good and man, am I great and I'm on my way to heaven. I want everybody to be like me and say, I need some improvement. Next year's got to be some improvement for me. I need to make a little change here. I need to do this here. And I've told myself that I need to make some changes. I need to do some improving in some different areas. When people walk in this place and sit down in this place, I want them to feel God. And the only way they can do that is if we have displayed it to them. Some people, you may never get the opportunity to say a word to them about Jesus. But when you live it in front of them, that says multitudes. When you display it to them at the mall, kids, that lives multitudes. While you're walking down the road, while you're at school, to your teachers, to your co-employees, to everybody that you deal with, your personal actions display multitudes of what God is doing in your life. He said in Matthew 5, he said, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city that's set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a bushel, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see. Everybody say see. Say it one more time. Your good works and glorify God in heaven. Colossians chapter 4. We walk in wisdom toward those who are outside. You know what outside means? That means those who aren't saved. Redeeming the time, buying back the time, and let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each other. That's this. It's taking a deep breath before you talk. Letting that speech, those words that's getting ready to come out your mouth, be seasoned before you say them. Oh, hallelujah. Your testimony to the world could be the best gift you ever give your friends or your family, your unsafe family, your colleagues, because it's the part of God who has changed you. It is the part about your life who is able to save someone else, who's able to lead someone to Jesus. One of the great evangelists of all time said, you should testify to at least 5 people every single day of your life. And if you have to use words, make sure they're kind. Make sure they're kind words. Oh, hallelujah. Signifying that we are a written epistle read by all men and that our voice is not what we witness with. Another group that's blessed by your testimony is your church. Your church. God requires us to note those who have godly testimonies so that we can be examples for people to follow. Especially when we think we can't live a godly life. Oh, hallelujah. Do you know how many people have told me that? I can't live this thing. I can't live this thing. I can't do what you guys do. I can't live it out. It's too hard to be a Christian. Over the years, I've had so many people say, I just struggle with this all the time, they say. I just can't live like you want me to live. Can't be what you want me to be. First Timothy 4:2, let no man despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in the world in conduct and love and spirit and faith and purity. Philippians 3:17, brethren, join in following my example. And note those who so walk as you have us for a pattern. You are the pattern for those people that are looking for Jesus. People sitting in this church may be looking for Jesus, and we are the pattern for them to follow. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm very disappointed with the American church. I really am. Because I still hear of stuff that just disappoints me to no end. I still hear of churches that are compromising integrity and compromising holiness for the sake of growth. You got to remember, I only think two people's going to heaven. I mean, that's the way I'm deciding to live this thing. If there's only two, I'm going to be one of them. You know? You can't live this thing. You have to die so that he might live. The life which I live by the faith of the Son of God. It's not you. So if you are trying to live this thing, you've got problems. Now, I'm not saying that you have to let the world push you around. I'm not saying that either. There comes a time when it's not required for you to be a doormat for people. I'm not saying that either. But I am saying that it's required of us to be a people of holiness and separation. A dead people. You know, dead people don't have rights. You're going in the ground, buddy. That's it. I told Susie, I said, there's no way in this world I ever want to be burned with fire. Some people, they don't mind that. I ain't burning me up. Let the worms eat me. Chop me up, throw me in the river. Let fish have me. But you ain't burning me up. She said, how do you know what I'm going to do with you when you're dead? I can do what I want. She scared me. I went out and bought a grave plot. I went out and bought a vault. Thought about buying a casket ahead of time. I told people, I've stayed as far away from fire as I can get. But let me tell you, folks, that's what people's looking at. That's what they're looking at. And finally, the fifth person who's blessed by your testimony is God. He can say, that's my kid. You know, God doesn't have grandkids. He has no idea what it means to be a grandpa. And have one of your kids walk up to you in church on Sunday and say, I love you, Pat. He has no idea what that means. You know? But I'm going to tell you, he's a good dad. He's a good father. He picked me up when nobody cared. I had these ideas. Where did these ideas come from? I don't know. They come from him. And you know, he went with me. Even when I tried to con him. You know, God, if you'll do this for me, I'll do this for you. You know what I mean? And then, you know what? He'd do this for me, and I wouldn't do that for him. Absolutely. He knows, you know? But you know what? He is so blessed. When the devil walked into his courts, and all the sons of God are bowing down, giving their report in the world. The devil walks in among them, the Bible says. And he looks at that devil and he goes, have you considered my servant Job? So you got to remember, he's all-knowing, so he already knew what the devil was thinking. He said, there's none like him in all the earth who escheweth evil None. And that just started the launch. That started the launch. Well, let's prove it. Folks, I'm telling you, there's none like God. There's none like Him. I wouldn't even love myself sometimes. And to think that He loves me no matter what just breaks my heart sometimes. There's times I just turned into a baby. Just a crying baby, you know? Just stupid things makes me cry. I'm a man, okay? You know? Do you realize the people I run around with, I used to run around with, I should say, we didn't cry. We're tough. Shoot, if I got whipped and cried, I'd get whipped again for crying. Well, you cried and hit you hard enough to cry. Shut up, boy. Crying just wasn't any part of me until I come to know Him. But see, I understood that crying is powerful. Crying is power. Sometimes tears usher in the presence of God. There's times we'll be worshiping. A few weeks ago we were worshiping and I just started weeping while we were worshiping. The presence of God just ushered in. I just start crying, no reason. That one song, when you do that, I just can't hardly contain myself every time you do that song. Jesus, Your Presence, or whatever. Yeah, I just can't hardly contain myself every time that song comes on. Because it just makes so much sense to me. And if anything in the world, I want to please Him. I want to please Him with whatever I do. Romans 12:1 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. That means you get on this altar alive. I heard a guy say one time, one thing bad about a living sacrifice, they keep crawling off the altar. Which is wholly acceptable in your reasonable service. One of the translations says your spiritual act of worship. So what do the chapters of Romans teach? Chapter 1 through 3 teaches that we're all sinners. Chapter 4 through 6, God saves all those who call Him. Chapter 7 and 8, God will mature you in the faith. Chapter 9 through 11, God has a plan for everyone's life. And in chapter 12, be that sacrifice. Stand up with me. Be that sacrifice. And that sacrifice means that you have a testimony. 1 Timothy 4:8, for bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable for all things, having the promise of life that is now and the promise of life which is to come. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And folks, we have to keep that mindset that we don't only have the promise of now, but we have the promise of eternal life. Oh, hallelujah. And it's the greatest gift that we can give to somebody we're concerned about. We don't talk about them. We pray about them. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. I don't want to stand in heaven someday and look at this big screen and see me standing there talking about somebody. And know that that person went to hell and fried. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to have that. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Would you bow your heads with me? Father, we just